So we are in week four. We're in wrap-up today, friends. Week four of a four-part series. And today we're wrapping up this series called Next. And really what we are doing is that we are working to answer the question, what's next for my life spiritually? What's my next step, right? Now, the thesis for this series is simply this, that all of us, you included, are somewhere on a spiritual journey. It's a continuum. It's a progression. It's a pathway that you are on. And you are somewhere on that journey, and you have a next step to take. The issue is this, that many don't know where they are at on this path. Thus, you are unable to take the next step. But we want to work through that. So my intention is to help you by shedding light on where you might be. And that's what we've been doing over this series, right? Why? So that you can identify with clarity what your next step might be. And when we are able to see it and do it, this is where real joy comes from. This is where real, deep, settled contentment comes from. Let me show you this in scripture. This has been our theme verse, and this is from Proverbs 29 and 18 from the Message paraphrase. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he is revealing or to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So God has this plan for your life. But if you can't see it, if you can't attain to it, they stumble all over themselves. And friends, we've all witnessed this. We've all been a part of this. We've all experienced this even, where we stumble over ourselves. We stumble in our marriages. We stumble in our emotions. We stumble in our finances, our dreams. Like everything in your life seems chaotic and messy. Listen, though, the mess isn't the problem, friends. We often think that the marriage is the problem. The lack of finances is the problem. The rundown house, the broken down car, that's the problem. But your mess isn't the problem. What's the mess is, what the problem is the lack of clarity for which you should do, for what you need to do, your steps that you need to take, what step you should take other than the mess is the problem. So what's my next step? That's the problem, the clarity. I'm lacking in that. I'm not seeing what God's leading me in and what God has for my life. And so all I can see is the mess. But what I'm hoping to do and hoping to see and praying to see and have the Holy Spirit do as well is to have your eyes opened and be enlightened, as scripture says, so you can see past the mess and you can see what God has for you and the path that he has you on and the next step for you to take. See, God wants to give all of us the clarity and understanding, because when you attend to what he's revealing in your life, those are the people who are most content, most fulfilled, most blessed, those who have clarity for the journey that they are on. So in this series, that's what we've been doing. We've given you the journey. And it's not something that I just made up either. We see it all throughout scripture, from cover to cover in this book, in the library collection of books we call the Holy Spirit-breathed books, in what we call the Bible today. Old covenant to new covenant. God has always wanted four things for your life, which I have brought to your attention in reverse order, so that you could begin with the end in mind tonight. So tonight we're talking about our first step, but we worked backwards so you know where I'm going with the end in mind for us tonight. So in week one, I want to just do a quick recap. This is in slide three. We learned to make a difference. We learned that God's ultimate plan for our lives is to live our life in such a way that your life matters and makes a difference for someone else's eternity. That's the difference that we are making when we are walking in God's purposes and walking in his anointing, walking on his pathways. God wants to make a difference. Your life matters in such a way that you're making a difference for someone else's eternity. And trust me, you can't have enough money, enough cars, a big enough house, a large enough following on your social media, as fit as Arnold Schwarzenegger, excel enough at your sports programs to find real happiness and fulfillment. And some of you are still there trying all the methods that our host culture prescribes for you to find your sense of fulfillment, but you will not find the fulfillment that you are craving with these prescriptions until you are making an eternal difference in other people's lives. And yet only God can help us get there, can help you get there. I can sign you up for volunteering, or Darren can sign you up for serving. All day long we can serve, but your heart has to change. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. See, so often we try to do that work on our own, and we become exhausted and we become burnt out and apathetic, and I'm just going to quit this. It's the work of the Holy Spirit doing that work. And we're going to unpack this even more. And you won't, friends, you won't make a difference if you don't know your role in difference making, because you haven't discovered your purpose. So God wants you to discover your God-given purpose for yourself and your family on this earth. Psalms 139 says that God created your inmost being. This is 139, 13 to 16. It says, for you, David is saying to God, praying, worshiping, you created my inmost being, which is the way I feel and the way I think and why some things matter to me and some things don't. This is the part of me that can get me off track, actually, when my feelings become the boss of my life. But God redeems our inmost being, and we can be back on point with his plans and purposes for our life. He goes on, you knit me together in my mother's womb. You saw me before I was even born. You put me together in my mother's womb. And David so confidently continues, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. He says, I know that full well. God has a plan for your life, friends. He created you on purpose for a purpose. And this is important to know. You won't find it unless you talk to him. The creation, friends, has to get connected to the creator. And that's why sometimes we stall a little bit in worship, and we take our time and curate the moments and discern for the Holy Spirit. Because you got to get connected to the creator. The creation has to be connected to the creator. Because if you don't, then you walk your life aimlessly, without connection, disconnected from the one who made you and has given you purposes and wired you for that. And it's beautiful. You've got to get to know him and be connected to him to find out what purpose really is and actually is for your life. Last week, week 3, we learned that you can't see for your tomorrow. You can't have hope for your tomorrow if your yesterdays aren't resolved. We call that finding freedom. Now, most people don't get stuck in wanting to do something that matters, right? But it's that I'm dealing with my mess. I'm still dealing with my mess, God. My hang-ups and my past shames and my addictions and broken habits. That's what I'm dealing with. I'm still caught. I'm stuck in my mess. Listen, all of us have had mess before Jesus. All of us. Every one of us in this room. But too many of us get stuck in our mess, still looking in the rearview mirror of my life. Can you imagine driving your car looking out the rearview mirror only? You're going to get into a wreck. You're going to hit something. You're going to hurt yourself. You can't live your life looking in the past, right? Looking in the rearview mirror, you need to get looking out the windshield and see what God has for you and the pathway that he has you on. You're still busy looking at your hang-ups, your faults, your past mistakes. Maybe, friends, if you'd be willing, could this be the year that you are no longer defined by your past mistakes? Could this be the year? We started off this year looking and praying and asking God, we want all that you have for us. Well, guess what, friends? We'll never get all that we have for us if we're still stuck looking in our yesteryears and defining our future by our past mistakes and our regrets and our shames. And could this be the year that you are no longer defined by your past mistakes, no longer defined by that addiction? Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once a porn addict, always a porn. That's a lie, friends. Let it break off you tonight. You can be freed from that identity. You can be freed from the identity of your diagnosis too, by the way. I'm going to throw that in there for free. You don't have to allow the things of this world to identify. You can allow your name to be written in glory. And I'm a child of the living God. I'm a son and I'm a daughter of the living God. I'm going to walk in that power. I'm going to walk in that authority. You can be freed from that identity. And you can live as sons and daughters of the living God. It's that thing you know, right? Talking about freeding. It's that one thing in your life that you know that if you didn't do it or didn't have it in your life would be that much better. That's what we're talking about, finding freedom. Last week we talked about finding freedom in the cross. Jesus really did come to set us free, friends. He nailed all that stuff to the cross, by the way, as we learned. And if you missed last week, I encourage you to jump online and listen in. I believe it'll change someone. The power of the cross really can set you free and me free too. And we truly want to lead you on this spiritual journey to find, to help you find your freedom. Yet, friends, none of this can happen without this first one that we're going to unpack tonight. And at Beloved, we are passionate about, I am so passionate about this one. If I only had one more opportunity to preach the word of God, to preach one more time, I couldn't think of anything more important than that, than this, and that is that you can know God. You can know the living God. You can be in relationship with God. And the emphasis is on the no. And that's what I want to share with you today. And once again, as your spiritual tour guide tonight, on this journey of what's next, this is so vital to understand. Some of you might even be shocked by this tonight, and maybe not, but even within our Christian culture, many of us are going to heaven, right? We believe in Jesus as our forgiver and our leader. But too many of us never take a step to become a learner of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, a learner of the way of Jesus, the patterns, the rhythms, the desires and motivations of Jesus. We have a head knowledge of Jesus and we trust, yeah, you rose from the dead and we understand this. Truly getting to know God in a way that I want to show us tonight. Now, in Scripture, in the New Testament, that's the later portion of the Bible from Matthew to Revelation, which much of the original manuscripts was originally written in Greek language in this portion of Scripture. And the Greek word in slide 8 that I want to unpack tonight is ginosko, to know intimately, which, by the way, was a Jewish idiom that they would use to be polite when talking about the relationship that a husband and a wife would have, where they would conceive and have a child. So it's deeper than a friendship. There's something going on that brings children into the world. And instead of saying it that way, they would use this word ginosko, meaning, in other words, they got close. And when Jesus came along and he talked about having a relationship with God, this was the word he used to which the crowd would have went, what? Shocked, because to them, God was far from them. God was distant. God was angry. God was big. God was holy, and we're not. God is up there, and we're down here. And Jesus comes along and was like, no, he wants so much more. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be ginosko with you. To get close to you and to know you intimately, to be in relationship with you. And then Jesus went as far as to say, actually, this is the condition for eternal life. He said this in slide 9, Matthew 7 and 21 and 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So what is his will? I think that's important to find out, right? He goes on, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Question mark. Many, what he's saying is many are going to show up on judgment day when this life as we know it is over. And say, Lord, look what I've done. I have prophesied and I've even driven out demons in your name and I've done miracles. And friends, you could put any churchy kind of thing there if you want in that list. I prayed and I read my Bible and fasted. I went to church faithfully. I served on the team. Scripture says many have based their faith on rites of passage and religious obligations and duties, on the wrong things, is what he's saying. And this is Jesus talking. He continues, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. He uses the same word. He's like, I was looking for your heart. I was looking to be close to you. I was looking to be ginosko with you, to do all your life and ministry with you in relationship and in close intimacy with you. But I didn't have it, despite all the good things that you're doing. See, friends, in slide 10, here's a quote for you. God isn't looking for your religion. He's looking for a relationship with you. And I just need you to know that, friends. Part of my job as a pastor is not just to preach and grow a church. Part of my job is to prepare you for the final exam that you are actually living out loud, that you are going to have. And some of you be skipping school and watching Netflix instead of studying. I've been there, done that too, friends. Instead of doing the hard work of being disciplined and prepared and equipped and readied for every good work that is actually birthed from this close, intimate relationship with this ginosko, this intimacy with God, births something in you, and it's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to do in you because of your closeness with him, because of your proximity with him. Friends, let me put it straight. Some of you have been flirting with Jesus and then running to other things to find your fulfillment, to satisfy your deepest longings and cravings. Friends, listen to me tonight. You are going to stand before God one day. Even if you don't even believe in God, you're going to stand before your creator. You're going to stand before your maker. Every man, woman, and child will stand and then bow before our designer, our maker, our creator. And at the end of your time on this earth, friends, which might even be sooner than you think. And I don't know about you, but I ain't playing. I have no desire to elevate my habitual thoughts and patterns and desires and habits and the motivations that my host culture cheers me on, and I have no desire to live that out. Nor of any religious culture. I don't want that either. I've been there, done that. Played legalism. Doing nice and good things for the sake of doing them because they look good and they smell righteous, maybe. For looking good in front of all my churchy friends. God sees your heart, friends. He ain't playing, you ain't playing. He sees what we do in private, and he sees our motivation, and he don't care about your virtue signaling. I know I'm preaching straight, but tonight this is where we start, friends, with the end in mind, which we started four weeks ago, I guess. But we'll never get any of that if we don't get this tonight. I wonder when was the last time that you reflected on your proximity with God, your intimacy with him. God is looking to be in relationship with you, to be close to you, friends. And some of us need to do a fact check tonight to take a look at your proximity. By the way, this is for free too, but it just might help. You can start. This is how I encourage you to start. If you want to do some fact checking, let's look, get practical for a second. Start with your calendar. Start with your budgets, your bank statements. It just might reveal where your priorities have been. And now, friends, I'm not preaching like this to shame you, make you feel bad about what you're doing and what about your life. Now I'm preaching like this because I love you and I care about you. And this is what I believe, that if I can preach the good news, if I can preach the gospel of Jesus, it's more than just, you know, feathers and rainbows and there's some hard things. Jesus said some hard things. And I want to bring those to your attention. It's my job as a point leader to point you back to Jesus. It's not to me. It's not to the good music. It's not to whatever we think sometimes our church service is about. The whole reason we're here is because of Jesus. And that's my job, is to repoint you back to Jesus. Hey, friends, let's look at Jesus. Let's fall in love with Jesus. Leaders, church, business, family, how's your proximity with Jesus? Are you close with him? Are you intimate with him? Is he near? Is he the focal point? And at the head of every deal and every detail and every conversation, every priority of your life? Or are you letting some things slide? Some values and virtues, some godly principles, your character maybe. Are you praying longer and more often in your counseling sessions? Are you on Facebook longer than you are in your Bible? Are you missing church and prioritizing other things in your life? Are you spending God's resources rather than investing them? Friends, these are hard questions. These are hard conversations to have with ourselves. But it's important because if we don't know God in a tangible and experiential, deep and intimate way, he might just say, I don't even know you after all of this. And I believe for some in the room, hey, maybe we've been nuzzling up close to the wrong things. And God just might be asking you in this still, small voice that he speaks in, do you love me? Do you love me? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It's Mark 12 and 30, and that comes from Deuteronomy. It's not that you need to be perfect, friends. It's not what we're talking about. Perfection's an attitude. You don't have to have it all figured out. That's an egotistical way of looking at life. You don't even have to have it all together. But it is about being in love with your Creator. He is my friend, my lover, my Savior, my Lord, and he's my leader. But to reiterate this lesson, let's look at two more places in Scripture. Matthew 15, 1 to 3, and then 6 to 9. Then some Pharisees, this is Matthew 15, 1. Then some Pharisees, the religious people of the day, teachers of the law, they come to Jesus from Jerusalem, of course, and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Hey, Jesus, by the way, Jesus, your disciples are doing it all wrong. They are breaking the traditions of times past. And by the way, friends, there will always be a group of religious people in your life. Who will tell you that you are doing it wrong. You didn't baptize the right way. You worshiped the wrong way. You got haze and lights on stage. You don't read the right translation of the Bible. Well, these religious-minded people here in Scripture, the Pharisees, they picked on the wrong person, by the way. And this is what they were picking on. They don't even wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, why do you break the command of God for the sake of tradition? Jesus comes back. Are you kidding me? Why do you break the commands of God? You're all worried about your traditions. Well, what is the command of God then, we must ask, right? What are you talking about? Scripture tells us the command of God was to love the Lord thy God. In Deuteronomy 8. 6 and 5, I should say. And echoed again in the gospel accounts of Matthew and Mark and Luke, just in case you didn't think you were living in the Old Testament and just in the New Testament today. He says it again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Remember what the soul is? The soul is the handbasket that holds your mind, will, and emotions. Can you imagine all your emotions? With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every bit of energy that I have. I know that you are nice. I know that you are kind. And you help others and you serve. So Jesus, you know, he says, I know you give and you're a pretty good person. No. These are good friends. But do you love me? Are you in close proximity with me? Are you intimate with me? Jesus continued with this. He's actually, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You make it of no use. He calls them hypocrites. He says, Isaiah, one of the ancients, was right when he prophesied about you. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, God is looking for ginosko. looking for your hearts, friends. They worship me in vain, and their teaching are but rules taught by men. Let me show you one more, so that you may be convinced of the importance of knowing God in a real, experiential, tangible, and intimate way tonight. Jesus makes up a story, we call it a parable, and shares it to help teach a lesson. Here's one in Matthew 25, verse 1. It says, At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. You might know the story. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take extra oil with them. The wise, however, took a whole pitcher of extra oil with their lamps, right? The bridegroom was a long time in coming. He's taken forever. And they all become drowsy and fall asleep. And at midnight, the cry rings out, "Here's the bridegroom, come to meet him." In this parable, Jesus is sharing about himself being the bridegroom and the church as his bride that he's coming back for one day, friends. We are all waiting for him. And waiting doesn't mean sitting on my hands. Waiting actually means serving, by the way, just so you know. They became drowsy and fell asleep, and a cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom." By the way, there's going to be a crying out. A trumpet blast, scripture informs us. And Jesus is going to return for his bride. That's a good place to say amen right there. And say, thank you, Jesus, you're coming back for us again. Wow. He goes on, slide 13 here for us. "Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out.'" See, many of us think the story is about being a virgin, being good and perfect, spotless without blemish, having it all together. Others think it's about the lamps, all about serving and giving and pouring out your gifts. They said, "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, why don't you just go to the market and buy some for yourselves?" See, some of us think it's all about the oil, being a nicer person, doing more good works, doing more good things. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Watch this. The others came back after buying oil at the market. Slide 14 says, "Later the others also came. 'Sir, sir,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'I tell you the truth.'" This is in scripture, friends, and watch what he says. "And it's not because you weren't virgin enough or that you fell asleep or that you didn't do enough good works." Watch what he says. No, it's not about these things or your sleeping patterns, right? He says, "I tell you the truth. I don't know you." He uses the same word again, ginosko. He said, "I was looking for intimacy. I was looking for closeness. I was looking for a relationship." See, being a disciple of Jesus, a learner of Jesus, is so much more than just having head knowledge and religious rites of passage and obligations, moral obligations, whatever you want to call it. It's bigger than our religious or charitable organization, friends, or membership cards, or how good you are, or how many nice things that you do. No, we are people in love with a very living God. We are a people who are in love with the very real God. Does anyone believe that they're in love with their very real God tonight? Because I'm starting to wonder if I'm preaching to the right crowd tonight. Oh, man, Lord, wake us up tonight. This is what it's all about. And here's what you'll notice. If you are not in love, I want to give you some symptoms tonight. All right, so here we go. Slide 15. Here's what you might be experiencing as a symptom if you are not living in closeness in ginosko with God. You'll be experiencing a sense of powerlessness. When you are not in love with Jesus, because if you don't know him, you will not know his power. But if you will know him, you will know his power, friends. And we're talking about power that overcomes shame and addiction and those sins and those broken habits, those habitual thoughts and patterns of life that you know that if they weren't there, it would be so much better, right? I mean, when you know God, you get the ability to overcome your porn addiction, to overcome all the anger that you wrestle with, all the strife that you bring to the table. Or maybe it's your insatiable desire for comfort living or control of your circumstances. When you know God, friends, you will know power. His power. It's a symptom of not being in proximity, in close proximity to Jesus. Powerlessness. Next one. Others may have this symptom, and it's a frustration with trying to do good. You're frustrated. You're trying to do so much good, and nothing seems to be working out. And I'm getting angry at this point now. You're frustrated with trying to do the good things that God wants to produce in you. Not on your own works, but on His power. But if you don't know His power and you're experiencing powerlessness, guess what? You're going to be frustrated. Maybe you're trying to obey the Bible. You're reading it like, ah. You find that it's hard. It's difficult. I can't do all this. Being a follower of Jesus is probably the hardest thing you'll ever attempt to do on your own power. If you are not in love with Jesus. But, friends, if you are in love, it'll be the easiest thing you've ever done. The easiest thing. It's like trying to be faithful to your spouse when you don't even really like her. That's a challenge, wouldn't it? Nobody wants to be in that relationship. Like, OMG, this is harder than I signed up for. The best thing to do is not to try and be faithful. The best thing to do is to actually get back into love. Then you'll want to be faithful. You won't have to be faithful. You'll get to be faithful. I hope someone's getting this today. In fact, this is so important to get. The Bible and the way of Jesus will be extremely difficult for you unless you are in love with Jesus. 1 John says, I don't have it for you on the scripture, that when you are on the screen, I should say, that when you are in love, His commands are no longer burdensome. It's the easiest and most delightful thing that I can do to serve my God. Some others have this symptom. It's a symptom of not living in gnoskos. And it's that you are envying others who seem to be closer. Some of you have been there. Have been where you see where others are at in their love for God. And you envy it. Yet you can, friends, instead of envying someone else's life, you can make the choice today to return to your first love. See, you didn't lose it. You just maybe turned your back on it. You left it. But God says, you can come back to me anytime. And just like the prodigal son, if you know the story, who comes back to the father, and the father embraces and says, welcome home. You left your first love. All you have to do is repent. Turn around and go the right way and say, I'm home, Dad. I'm all in. And He'll kill the fatted calf and put a robe on you, a robe of righteousness. And He'll put a seal on your ring, the seal of redemption on you. It's beautiful. You can make the choice to return to your first love. You left it, but you can always return. Here's the heartbeat that I truly believe every one of us can walk in. And it's not reserved for the select few, like some traditions will say. It is for everyone. And Paul talks about this in the letter to the church in Philippi, the Philippians. In Philippians 3:10, he says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. He uses the same word, gnoskos. How I want to be intimate with Jesus. And experience this same resurrection power to overcome dead works and shame and death in my life. I want to be intimately close with Christ. And when I do, I will experience the mighty hand of God, the mighty power of God, the presence and power of the living God in my life. When I love Him, like you won't find freedom, friends. And you can't discover purpose and make a difference until you first know God. And that, my friends, is what we are all about. And not just us, but the entire meta narrative of Scripture. That means the big story with all the little stories in it, the meta narrative, the big story from cover to cover is all about two. The entire story, the entire accounts of Jesus and all of those who followed him, it's all about knowing God through Jesus Christ, who was revealed to us as a human and as fully God, and who now sits in the right hand of authority, Christ in us, we in Christ, and both of us together seated in that right hand of authority, power and authority. Because we're in relationship with a good God, a powerful God, a good God. Let me give you another quote here. Slide 19, I don't know if we have the numbers up there, but God doesn't just want us to celebrate the resurrection, friends. He wants us to have a resurrection of our own. He wants you to experience from death to life. He does. And you're only going to experience that when you have an intimate relationship with him. Then you will find freedom. Then you will discover your God-given purpose. And then you won't be able to hold your horses. You won't be able to hold my mule here, friend. I'm going to make a difference now because I am in love with the living God. So let's bring this to a close and talk about how real briefly. Let's get practical for a couple more moments. If I wanted to get close to God, to know God, like we're talking about Pastor Chris here, what do I need to know? What are the steps? Well, thanks for asking such great questions. Let me show you. Here's step number one, and that is you walk in love with him because he loved me first. This is a slide, what are we, slide 20. I love him because he first loved me. You walk in love with God because you have begun to realize how much he loves you. Some of you think that God will only accept you once you really begin to behave yourself. But I want to remind you, I want to let some of you off the hook tonight for that. You don't have to get your act together first to get to God. You have to get God so that you can get your life together. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in you, by the way. And even in your mess, and what you did this week, and those thoughts you had just before church, those things you dwell upon in your alone time. See, God's not looking for more virginity and more oil. He's actually thinking about you right now. He wants you. He wants all of you. Your whole heart. Even the parts we put away in the corner, thinking that I don't want God to see that part of my life. No, he wants to be near and dear to you. Close and intimate. And even better, he wants you so much, friends, that he chose you before you even chose him. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He chose you before you ever chose him. He took the punishment for your sins and my sins and nailed them to a cross so that I wouldn't have to, like we learned last week. He loves me that much. There is no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for another, for his friends. That's what he calls you. That's what he calls you, his friends. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Here's the second thing if you want this ginoskos thing, this intimacy with God. It really is found, secondly, in doing something that all relationships really require. And that is, number two, is to pursue him with all my heart. If you want somebody, you got to go after them, girl. When I met my wife, I didn't know that she would be my wife at that time. I thought she was cute, right? She was friendly. It didn't stop there. I pursued her. Can I get your number? We were emailing. Whew. I pursued her. I wanted to get to know her and her me, and I pursued, right? That's what we all do when we want something, we pursue it. And listen, you may not know this, but God loves to be chased, to be pursued, to be longed after. All throughout Scripture, he's saying, seek me. Come on, would you just seek me? And he's just hiding in plain sight. Oh, wait, they're going to see my toe sticking under the curtain. And ha-ha, here I am. Seek me. Would you seek me with all your heart? Would you just come after me? Would you pursue me? In fact, Jeremiah, one of the ancients, he writes this in Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. See, some of us shop for Jesus like we shop with coupons. We want that half price deal. But God wants all your hearts, friends. Seek him with all your heart. Will you pursue him? Friends, what would it look like if this was the year that you chose and committed to pursuing Christ with all your heart? Meaning, I ain't going to play games anymore, friends. I ain't going to stay on the fringe any longer. I ain't going to watch from a distance anymore. But instead, I'm going to go all in with Jesus. And friends, watch what a difference that decision will make in your life. When you say, God, I want to know you in a real, tangible, and experiential, intimate way. In fact, the way we say it around here, I encourage you, put it to the test. Give it a year. Give God a year of your life where you do everything you can to take the steps that we have laid out for you over the past 4 weeks to know God and to find freedom, to discover purpose and make a difference. Go all in with your whole heart. I promise you on God's word that you will experience life change. In fact, I believe this so much, friends, that if you don't experience life change, I'll change churches with you. Because that's how much I believe it in this church. And that's how much I believe the word for this church and the mission for this church. If we ain't experienced life change, I'm going home. I'm going to find another church. But I believe it's going to happen here in this house. Because this is the mission and vision that God has given us as a family. And it's all throughout scriptures, friends. When you know God like we're talking about tonight, when you go all in for God, in every aspect of your life, friends, not just a little bit of it, your life will be forever changed. It really will be. Here's the last one, and that is, you not only love God because he loves you, you're also chasing after him and you're pursuing all that he has for you now. All relationships require commitment, whether it be friends, your loved ones, your dog, you got to water it too. You know, a sports team, if you don't watch them play, they're definitely not going to score. So you've got commitment going on here, right? A job, I've got to get paid, of course. So at some point, you're going to have to say, I don't fully understand this commitment, this fully devoted follower of Jesus thing. But just like when I got married, and many of you have got married to Angela, my first and last wife, I didn't fully understand marriage, right? Didn't have it all figured out. I wasn't an expert on it. When we first had my kids, Drew was the firstborn. I wasn't an expert at raising children. I didn't have a clue. I read a couple books, went to a parenting class. I'm like, woo! But I just made the commitment. Okay, babe, I know we're struggling with some things, but let's figure this out. Why? Because I'm fully devoted to you. I'm committed to you. So we're going to walk through this. Kids, I'm going to do my darn best to be the best dad that I can be. And guess what? I'm even committed to growing better at it. And some of you are here today and need to cross the line of faith in your life. Maybe you wandered off the line of faith and you're like, man, I need to renew my faith today. Maybe I need to get off the bench and get off the fence and get off the fuzzy sides or whatever, looking over the fence, whatever it might be. It's not about joining a church. You just need to cross that line of faith today. And the third one I want to give you is simply this. If you want this, Genosko says, give my life, give him my whole life. My entire life. Even the parts of it I think I'm ashamed of, give it anyway. You think is inadequate or doesn't matter or too small or too, whatever it is. My whole life. And Jesus said it this way. This is why we give him our whole life, friends, because in Luke 9 and 24, Jesus himself says, hey, friends, if you try to hang on to your life, guess what? You're going to lose it. But, there's my big buts in the scripture. I love it. If you give up your life for my sake, Jesus is saying, you will save it. I truly believe that the Spirit of God is singing out over you in this moment. Do you love me? Do you love me? For many of you, your response would be you'd list off a whole list of mighty good things that you've been doing for God. Just like when my wife sometimes, do you really love me? Well, come on, I've been doing the laundry, I've been sweeping the floor, I've been doing all this good stuff for you, babe. Like, of course I love you. All these things that I would expect to prove that my love by, right? God, I went to church today even. Twice for me. Beat most of you. There you go. Read the Bible from cover to cover. Went to a Christian school even, friends. Bible school. I even shopped at the local Christian bookstore today. Sipped my coffee from a mug that had my favorite scripture verse on it. Come on, God. You got to have noticed something here. But here's what I sense God is saying to us. I already know what you do for me. I already see your heart. I see the works that you do in my name. But do you love me? Are you gnoskos? Are you intimate with me? Do you really know me? That's what it's all about, friends. I want to leave you with a slide. It's then and only then that you can take the next steps to find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference in your life, and live a life that God intended as when you begin with knowing God in a real and tangible way. Here are a couple of responses that I have for you on the screen. It's the last slide for us, Melanie. Thank you for your patience with all those slides tonight. A couple of responses that I have for you. Every one of you, friends, are somewhere on the journey to know God and can identify with one of these choices tonight. And I want to help you identify, that's why we've put them there for you. Help you identify where you are at. Why? Because I want to pray for you. That's what family does, right? Here's what we got. A, first selection, I already know God personally. Having a close relationship with the Father. B, hey, you know what? I think I want to begin a real relationship with a living God today. C, hey, you know what? I haven't thought much about this, but I want to consider what God wants to do in my life. And D, last but not least, you might be saying, I don't ever intend to make that decision. And friends, that's okay. Even if you pick D as your selection, I still want to pray for you today. Because you know what? I've known so many people who have picked D and now are living in A. And so I trust that God's going to do some special work in your heart and in your mind. So no matter where you are on the spectrum of faith or amongst these choices, wherever you are on your journey to know God in an intimate way, I truly believe that God is also in pursuit of you. And I love this about him. It's hide and seek both ways, friends. It's not just you playing it. It's not just him. He will never give up on you, by the way. His will is that none should perish. And that all would come to repentance and experience eternal life with him. God is not going to leave you alone to figure it out by yourself. He's going to speak to you, and he's going to keep speaking to you. And you just watch what is going to happen in your life from this day forward. So if we could turn on just the background music for a moment. And all around the room, if you could bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. I want to pray for you.